To order for May, and can I have approval for the minutes from April 7th and April 26th, please?
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Matt Sosa at planning. You got a public hearing authorization?
Nancy, just authorizing public hearing for the this for the 303B open enrollment program that runs from February 15th to March 17th of every year. We need to authorize public hearing for next month before proceeding with.
I'll move it.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carried. Thank you, Matt. Whisking right through. We have surely some discussion to make about the next one. I'll let Jack.
Sure. So sent an email to you last week outlining additional fees from the Finger Lakes SPCA in addition to the $10,000 retainer that we pay. And it's largely tied to the two animal cruelty cases that are still pending. You know, candidly, and I mentioned in my email, you know, and I've rectified it, but now receiving monthly updates, I should have stayed on the SPCA to see exactly how much the rates were accruing and the charges were accruing. So I do apologize for that. And I am doing that now. And we're talking about, you know, multiple thousands of dollars a month between these two cases for those expenses. So to close out 2020, you know, netting out the $10,000 that we have already paid Finger Lakes SPCA, the additional allocation would be $24,008.57. We do have about $30,000 left in the capital project. So, you know, all that saving that you folks have done over the past few years, you know, we're about to drain that and the charges are still accruing. So, you know, we're certainly going to have additional charges for this year to bring back to you at some point once the SPCA has those around. But again, it's a few thousand dollars a month in addition. So the second item hopefully will rectify that in terms of the RFP. But again, challenging when we have these large cruelty cases, there are significant expenses.
So not to push the history too much, but I think it was way last year when Legislator Mullen brought, when he was on the committee, he brought up the idea of going out to an RFP to try to get these, especially the large animals, housed at farms, hoping that we can get some people to contract for that. And that idea was pushed on the premise that the DA... district attorney's office would cooperate, because one of the arguments the district attorney had for not going to court under agriculture law and get a veterinarian in with professional services to testify was that that was going to be too much of a burden and too costly for his office to do in each one of these cases, so that we could seize the animals ourselves and either dispose of them or get them to a place where it wasn't going to cost us so much to house them while the case was adjudicated against the individual that was responsible for the charges. So long story short, how much money are we spending now? It's ridiculous. We've had foot dragging on this, and now that we got a possibility of doing the contract, I think we're going to move on as soon as possible. So having said that, yes, Jeff.
I actually have a serious question about these animals. Who covers the liability? Because I can tell you, and Mr. Nichols will probably agree with me on this, one of the animals that is at the SPCA that was seized was like a nine-month-old Jersey bull with horns. Now this bull's 3 years old. It's mean as heck. The girl that takes care of that bull every day takes somebody with her to protect her from that bull. It's put her through the fence twice. If she gets horned or hurt by that bull, is the county liable? The SPCA liable? That girl has went and asked several times for something to be done with that animal. And she's told that the county has ownership, but we can't do nothing.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but it needs to go to the auction. It needs to go somewhere. I mean, I know the court process takes a long time. I'd rather suffer the consequences of, you know, selling that for hamburger or euthanizing it and have to eventually pay the guy back for $2,000 worth of hamburger than to see Cassandra get hurt.
Well, general answer, but the Ag and Markets Law, the DA has to go before a judge to get permission to take control of the animal while the case is being adjudicated. That's the issue here.
That is exactly the issue. So I can look into it, Mr. Horton, to see, you know, as far as the county liability, off the cuff, just thinking about it, you know, Brooks is in a state role when he's prosecuting and he's in possession of them. So that would always be my argument, first and foremost, if I can't find an answer, is that it's a state function, not a county function, and it's state law. But let me make sure that that's...
Because I do know firsthand that's not a rumor. That bull is mean. I mean, I've seen it. I do horses at the SPCA. It's mean.
And the statute's really clear about not killing them. You can't kill them. And, you know, there's damages and then he can't prosecute because he doesn't have evidence. It's just all over the place.
Yeah, but do we wait until somebody gets killed?
Yeah.
Bob?
There's, it's ridiculous. I mean, the price of beef is up, but he might better be on a meat hook. And the thing is, before my father bought the farm that we have now, there was one man killed with a Jersey bull. Jersey bulls are extremely mean when they get older. I would suggest if the state won't allow you to put them on a meat hook, then you need to send them to, there's different places around the state that has bulls, that'll house bulls, that have the facilities to keep a mean bull so that nobody gets hurt. I mean, their barns are built for that. They advertise for, you know, people have a bull they can't control, they want to sell semen from it. But you may need to move that bull to a place like that so nobody gets killed. I mean, they can kill a person.
Specifically on that issue, we'll work with the DA's office and I'll talk to the SPCA about what an option is for the bull.
There's a place I know up near Oneida, Madison area up there. I've been to it and they've got a bull place. So there's places we can move that bull to, so we don't have somebody getting killed out here.
So we're hoping somebody responds like that to the RFP, that they can provide that service. So, you know, if you have any Oneida County or any specific names, I mean, we can try to target getting this to those people.
Okay.
And then we know that it's on our website, because that, I mean, we don't have to award to necessarily one. There might be somebody that can house the dangerous bulls and somebody that can house the sheep, but they can't house the cows because of,
I'm not saying it's going to be super cheap, but I'm saying it's a place where somebody's not going to get hurt seriously or killed.
But the DA could also make a case for seizing this animal, taking control of it, and disposing of it because of the danger.
And wasn't there, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there also a provision in there for the owner to have to provide a bond or something to pay for the cost of this while the case was going on?
I think there is, but you know how that goes.
Blood from a stone.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
yeah. But I mean, how much would it cost us, or how much would it cost the district attorney's office to get the information, to get ready to go take that into court?
We've never gotten an answer on that. Something we pushed for before. when we started this months ago, it really wasn't, I needed to know, or we needed to know the cost of it, as it was, we want you to do it. Take the case and get the professional services to testify before a judge would be far less than the bills we're getting now.
And I mean, and honestly, it's not like they've been doing very much the past year that they didn't have time to deal with this stuff.
Well,
how long is the case is expected to last for? I mean,
well, because of COVID and the court slowdown and blah, 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 blah.
We need to, if we don't push it, well, not we, because he's in a state function, but if the district attorney doesn't push it, it's not going to go anywhere.
This is the only alternative we have because the DA won't get off the dime.
Mm-hmm.
So was the 24,000 for last year all last year?
That was to close out last year. We all already did the 10,000 retainer. I did some 20 some to make up 19 and part of 20. And this is to close 20 and part of the beginning of 21. But there are additional charges that are accruing in 2021. So it's not, we're approaching the level of that, the large one from 10 years ago.
What there's two different cases. What courts are they pending in? Do you know, Jen?
I can't remember.
So Jack, what do we have in the budget this year?
The bull came from Cameron.
So you had, in the budget, we kept the 35. So you could just pay it out of the budget instead of the capital project if you chose, because you do have enough. Let me confirm, connect to my drives and confirm. But what we've done is you folks haven't changed that allocation amount from the way old when they were actually providing the animal cruelty officer. Mm-hmm. We kept that amount in, and if there was money, it was rolled. It was Aaron's idea a few years ago to roll that money into the capital project for situations like this. But there's only 24,000 left, or 29,000 left in that capital project. Stand by and let me.
Well, we really don't want to take it out of this year's budget because we're already, you know, four months into it, sitting out there. And how much are we going to eat out of the 30 grand we got budgeted? So
you're going to need more of that. Even if we're able to get responses to the RFP that we can bring back to you next month, and get them move someplace else, or if the district attorney is able to get some disposition, there are additional costs for this year.
So we should take what is owed to SBCA out of the capital project and leave 21 intact to pay what we need to pay. That's my feeling. So
6 of 1 half dozen the other.
Yeah, it's coming out of the county tax dollar, that's for sure. Any other thoughts? Well, I think we're looking for a motion to make the additional payment in that manner, correct?
I'll move it.
Correct, yeah.
Second.
Any other discussion on the payment?
We don't really have a choice.
No, not really.
And can I also say, can we also go back to the DA and say, here's what we're going to do. We really need you to push this and finish it off. Can we at least, I know.
I believe the county manager has done that. But
well,
maybe you personally can do that, Hilda. Maybe
I'd be happy to. I would be happy
to. You're very persuasive.
We did.
Do it through Zoom so we can't hit you. Throw you against the cop.
So let's have a vote on authorization for the payment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. So the second part of this is everyone had a chance to look over the RFP for the animal.
Well, can I go back for 1 second? I think Jack, in your email, you were asking the SBCA for a report. So are they going to, have you already asked them so that
yes.
Ongoing we'll get a report? Okay.
Yes. Instead of accumulation and having it be a surprise, yeah, we're getting a more defined, regular report. Okay, so the RFP for the animal holding services, you had a chance to review that. Anyone have any questions? Is there any highlight in that we need to discuss? Or
no, just like to get it out on the street and see what the other options are, and hopefully they're more cost effective.
Do we have a manner in which we're dispensing this besides just putting it out on the public wavelength? Are we going to invite some specific farming operations to take a look at it?
To Jen's point, I mean, that's certainly not my area of expertise, but if you folks have any contacts locally or regionally or statewide,
okay.
Send them to us and we'll send it directly to them. All we need is an email address.
Okay. Carol.
In this proposal for the RFP, the only thing I found was missing was under purchases. Everyone has to get an approval from the county for any purchases. But what if you have an emergency? I didn't see that addressed in there.
Yeah, we
have a process internally for emergencies that overrides state law that we're allowed to do. So we would do that process.
We'd work with them if there was an emergency.
Yeah.
So just put up a chat about dispensing or disseminating the RFP.
Somebody put something in the chat.
Tess?
Okay, Hilda, while we're waiting.
So that was a very long document. And I thought, is it 16 and 17 that was pertaining to this? I don't have it in front of me, but 17, I think it listed cows and sheep and goats and all that, but it didn't list cats and dogs. Was that assumed?
Cats and dogs are different.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right.
Probably will continue to be cared for under any seizures with the SPCA. Okay. They're more equipped to do that type of harboring anyway.
They're also not agricultural animals.
Yeah. Amanda said that the comment came in from Tess McKinley from Cooperative Extension that she will put it on their website about the RFP.
So, be good. Yeah, and if she can help us distribute to some of her lists, that'd be good.
Yeah, that would probably be a good direction to go, Tess, if you can put out the word to your mailing list.
You must have a list of veterinarians in the region, right, that could get it? They might be able to pass it on.
Yeah, but I'm thinking more farms.
Yeah, but they could pass it on.
For the Farm Bureau, would that be under the Tess works for the Farm Bureau, so I'm sure we could ask her to help out with that.
Kelly?
I just wondered if there's any way to put a line item or take a line item out of the district attorney's budget, since some of these costs are directly related to his actions or inaction.
You control the budget.
That's the only thing we control is the purse strings.
Can we put that on the agenda for the finance committee?
Certainly.
You go, Kelly.
All right.
So, Bob?
Question on this boarding bovines. One of them's, I don't know if all three of them are isolated or what, but one of them says Yoni's disease, so there's no farm that's going to want to take that animal.
True.
That's a chronic diarrhea thing.
And that's going to be another instance.
So there's no farm. If it says isolated, I don't know if it's all three bovines or just one bovine. But if they got Yoni's disease, there's no farm that's going
to. So if the DA could see himself going to court and trying to do something with the angry bull, that one should be included in his plea for county.
Yeah, it says right here, Yoni's positive, large. I don't know whether it's all three of them or one of them.
I think you should ask him, where I've been, so we can address him personally about this.
Because I think he's just dodging it for whatever reason.
It's been dodging it for 8 months or more.
And maybe during the finance committee, and, you know, he'll take it a little bit more seriously. I actually don't think that's a bad idea.
Yep. Okay. All right. Motion made and seconded for the RFP for housing for animal holding services. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You don't think we had a motion?
I didn't need a motion.
Some people. Motion.
I move it.
For the RFP.
Second.
Okay. Do I need to do the vote again?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do the vote again. Okay, now that the motion has been made and seconded, I hear all in favor of the RFP.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
When will that go out?
Immediately.
Yes. Yeah, Andy's ready to go.
We're asking for it to be back in like 30 days, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm trying to move this along to not impinge on land bank. So without further ado, Jamie, you're online? Can't hear you.
You're muted.
I got it. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I don't know how I'm going to compete with Angry Jersey Bulls, but I'll do my best. Wanted to share some numbers and some statistics with you this morning. We just completed our annual project performance report, which is a result of the Paris report that gets submitted every March, through IEAs to the state. And we're required then to do an analysis and a performance report to present to the board. So some of these numbers that I'm sharing to you are actually getting shared in advance of our board meeting. So it seems that because of schedules, you guys always get a little insight before my board of directors does. So interesting numbers from 2020. I really didn't know what to expect, to be quite honest with you, having gone through the height of the pandemic. And we really didn't know where companies were going to come in at and how projects were performing. So just a few highlights that I'd like to share today. The IDA does have 52 active projects that we are we work with and we continue to monitor through the life of the benefit period. Out of those, in 2020, we had 5 new projects, which is about typical. We range anywhere from, I'd say, 5 to 8, a really, really busy year, we might have 10 or 12, but we did have 5 new projects last year. During the year, though, we did see that out of those 52 projects, they had a capital investment of almost $92.5 million, which is a significant amount of money that our businesses were spending during the pandemic. And even more interesting was, is that represents a almost a $24 million increase over the previous year. So while the pandemic was going on, businesses were spending a lot of money in Steuben County. Out of those projects, and Amanda has got a document that I've asked her to share, those projects generated $10.6 million in new revenue through their pilots that were distributed through municipalities and school districts throughout the county, including Steuben County. And as you'll see from that document, Steuben County is the largest recipient of pilot revenue from the IDA behind the Corning Painted Post School District, with over $2 million in revenue being generated through IDA projects that goes directly to Steuben County's budget. When you look at the total investment and total payroll for the year out of those 52 projects, that's almost $1 billion worth of an impact in Steuben County, compared to the $11 million in benefit that these companies are receiving. Our efforts are generating a cost benefit to the community of $81 for every $1 in incentive spent. And this does not account for any secondary or induced economic benefit in the community. So we're very proud of that fact. And we monitor that on an annual basis. In addition, active projects last year supported just under 7,000 jobs, 6,765, accounting for $826 million in payroll. Now, this is the area, this is where it got a little interesting for us, because I did not have any idea where the job impact was going to come in, and we did see a decrease for the year of 372 jobs, but those were all accounted for from businesses that were directly impacted and shut down because of COVID. And when you look at a couple of the hotels that we assisted with, Gunlock had a really, really off year because office furniture sales went down. But overall, the majority of our projects either maintained or they continued to grow employment during the reporting period. We've actually, if you factor in, some of those impacts that were COVID related and you take those out of the scenario, we actually saw an increase of 226 jobs for the reporting year if you backed out those specific projects. We did have, a handful of projects that did not perform as expected. And when they say perform, the way the state measures this is something that, I always like to pull out, because, they look at the projects and their job performance, but they don't take into consideration whether those projects actually had hit their goals originally and then fell below their goals. So you have to take a look at this in a scenario of either maintained or didn't hit the projected job performance. Many of our benefits go out 10 or 20 years, and through that period of time, business cycles do go into play, and the job performance does fluctuate through that period. So we always like to make sure that when we look at these projects, we look at whether or not the projects had hit their benefit at one point and then for some reason failed to maintain that. So we do work with all of those projects, and we will be presenting recommendations to the board on how to treat those projects going forward this year and whether or not there's any situations where we should be looking at potential clawbacks of benefits, or if we're going to continue to work with them to try to get them to a situation where they can meet and maintain their goals. Any questions right now on the numbers before I hit some of the highlights of some of the other projects that we've been working on?
No, go ahead, Jamie.
Okay, so real quickly, I did want to hit a couple of the highlights, from the last time that we met. We were pleased that we were able to announce Compen relocating to the Gunlock facility. To me, this is just a wonderful example of being able to work together with our various partners. This lead came to us from CSS Workforce New York because Compen had reached out to them looking for assistance in finding labor. Compen, as many of you have probably seen, is a manufacturer of seats for rail cars, and they have a contract to do the Acela seats with Alstom. They've also got several other contracts throughout the country, and they were looking at establishing a manufacturing presence, but in order to do so, they needed employees. As part of the conversation with CSS, they indicated that they were looking for space. So long story short, when they started talking about the need for upholsterers, we immediately put them in touch with Gunlock to see if there was any way that we could introduce them to the employees that were being impacted by the shutdown or the moving of the upholstery division of Gunlock to Iowa. Fast forward to today, and Compen was able to lease the upholstery section of the Gunlock manufacturing space, something that Gunlock has never done before in their history. They bought all of the equipment, and they are making jobs available to the 30 or so employees that were being dislocated as a result of the Gunlock decision. In addition, they do plan on creating a total of 51 employees at the space. So, the net benefit is 20 plus jobs, but it is a great example of being able to work with our partners and understanding the needs of not only the businesses coming in, but the needs of the businesses that you currently have. So Gunlock is thrilled with the situation. Compen is very happy and is in the process of hiring some of those individuals. In addition, when you talk about partnerships, we've been working very closely with the Hornell IDA. We were asked to provide technical assistance to help them submit a $3.4 million grant request to the EDA to support site work for the new Alstom Shell plant. I bring this up because, it is a great project that the Hornell IDA has been able to negotiate with Alstom. But this is a great example of how we've been able to leverage the county resources to support economic development. As most of you know or recall, when we hired J.C. Smith on our staff, it was because of a commitment that the county made to us to financially support that position. And J.C. Dedicated his time to put the entire EDA application together and get it submitted on behalf of Hornell IDA. So, I want to thank the county for their continued contribution and support to economic development and provide you with the example of how that's benefiting the community. Speaking of JC, many of you have probably getting tired of hearing us talk about the Hammond Support Sewer Project, but I'm pleased to say that we have approval from DEC to proceed with final engineering. That is being worked on as we speak, and there is a scheduled public informational session on June 2nd. Currently, it's scheduled for the Hammond Sport Fire Hall. We're going to wait and see how COVID implications, whether or not we need to take that virtual. But currently, it is scheduled at the Fire Hall for June 2nd. And the plan for that project is to go out to bid later this summer and start construction next spring. Finger Lakes Community Health is another project we've been working closely on. They are going to construct a new facility in the IDA park where Guthrie was originally proposed to go. They were in front of the town planning board last night. We are hoping that they got final approval, but we haven't gotten any confirmation of that. Couple other things, and then again, I'll open it up for questions. We received notification 2 weeks ago from Barron Wind that they are going to be moving forward with their $308 million project that will cover portions of Wayland, Dansville, Cohocton, and Fremont. This is going to generate 235 megawatts of power, and they hope to start construction in August. Eight Point Wind submitted their application for financial assistance in March, and we're going through the approval process on that project now. That is going to impact the towns of Greenwood and West Union and will result in 101.8 megawatts of power being generated with a total capital investment of $210 million, which includes a 17-mile transmission line that's going to run from Greenwood to Hornellsville through Hartsville. That's a significant investment and something that should not go unrecognized, because one of the things that we are seeing as we see the expansion of renewable energy in our community is there are significant gaps in our infrastructure. So we've been engaged in conversations with both NYSERDA and then this week with NYSEG to better understand where those gaps are, how it's limiting development, and what, if anything, can be done to induce additional investment in infrastructure. Because while a large-scale wind project can assume the cost, the $40 million cost of a 17-mile transmission line, smaller solar projects cannot assume it. And when you look at communities, you know, we point to Addison and Troopsburg and some of the smaller communities in the southern portion of our county, there is absolutely no capacity in the grid right now for additional development. And if there were, I would assume and would predict that we would see a lot of interest in those communities for solar projects. Finally, the CFA process. We are getting a lot of questions about when the CFA process is going to get announced through the Regional Economic Development Council now that the state budget has been approved. What we're being told is that we should hear a lot more information next week, but that we can expect a much different process than in the past, where we've had to compete with other regions across the state. What we're hearing from multiple sources is that this is going to be much more project focused and not focused on you know, a big grand regional competition, and that the application process will be more of a rolling process instead of a once a year announcement. So we're eager to get those details. And once we do, we will definitely share them. Ben, the other big issue that we continue to work on is employment issues. I mean, it seems like every time we meet with a company, we hear about this issue. And I know Jack is the chair of CSS Workforce New York. I sit on the board of directors. They had a virtual job fair last week with New York State Department of Labor. And in the three counties, they had over 130 businesses participate. They had registered over 3,200 available jobs that were available immediately. Unfortunately, there were only 476 job seekers that participated in that online event. So you can see there's a lot of disengaged workers that are sitting on the sidelines that are not seeking jobs, and it's becoming a real problem. Just this morning, I actually introduced a Chemung County business to a couple of Steuben County businesses who, because the Chemung County business has contracts that they have to fulfill, cannot find employees. So now they're talking with our businesses about the possibility of subcontracting a lot of that work out. While that sounds good, I can tell you that the businesses that I introduced them to have the same problems that the Chemung County business does with not being able to find employees. So it is a major issue that not only are we dealing with, but everywhere in the nation is dealing with this. And I suspect, and I don't want to proclaim, but I can tell you that I firmly believe that it's a result of what's going on with the federal stimulus and the extension of the unemployment benefits through August. So, we may see September a bunch of people trying to find jobs, and I certainly hope that those jobs have not passed them by. So with that, again, I will open it up to any questions or comments that anybody may have.
Jamie, I have to ask. This is Robin. Phillips Plant.
We are engaged in conversations with the Phillips team. There has been a lot of activity over there with the next phase of cleanup. And I know that they are assessing and are going to be making a decision on how to move forward with that facility in the coming weeks or months. But by the end of the year, we hope that there's going to be a solid plan on how to move forward with that facility on the Phillips side, which is encouraging to us.
Jamie, this is Hilda. Any update on Amazon?
The only update that we have is we are in communication with the company. They have received, they did get their seeker approval, didn't they, Jill? I'm looking at Jill through my Zoom screen here from the town. One of the items that they are working on before they can make a final determination are some access improvements that need to occur that DOT requested on 54. Our contacts at the company have said that they are working through those and hope to have a resolution in the next few weeks so they can make a final decision on whether or not to move forward with that project.
Other questions? Wow, we're not too excited this morning, Jamie.
Either that or I just, dumped a lot of information on everybody. And always I want to, thank the legislatures, and especially right now, Kelly Fitzpatrick. Kelly's been working with us on the Dana Lyons School. So Kelly, thank you. I do appreciate your support on that. I appreciate the support of the entire legislative body, as we work through a lot of our projects here locally. And as always, if anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out.
Okay. Well, with that, Jamie, thank you for the report.
Thank you.
All right. Any other business to come before the committee? Hilda.
I just wanted to highlight, Tess can join in, but Cornell Cooperative Extension is doing cooking classes online. They have Italian, I think it's tomorrow. They did it yesterday. I participated. And next week is Caribbean cooking. So it's, again, virtual, it's fun, it doesn't cost you anything, and you might learn something.
But there's no samples.
Yeah. No samples. You can't even smell it. But you can cook well. They give you the ingredients ahead of time, so you can cook while they're cooking.
I see.
Right, Tess?
That's correct. Thank you, Hilda.
There's a whole bunch of things out on their website, financial seminars and estate planning, all those things that are free that we can take advantage of, pass it on to your constituents.
And I encourage everyone to go in and read the newsletter, even if you just peruse it lightly. There's some good stuff in there. Might tickle you, give you information, stuff you want.
All those seminars.
Yeah. A lot of seminars, a lot of information.
Any report on the occupancy tax progress?
On the what?
The occupancy tax. VRBO.
VRBO has not gotten back to me. I have placed multiple email messages and trying to find a corporate number is next to impossible. So I've called customer service and left specific messages. They have not gotten back to me. My next step, NYSAC doesn't have a contact for me. My next step is to go to our federal elected officials to get someone that a live person that you can actually talk to.
So when you do call them, we're on hold for like half an hour.
Yeah, I've done that and done my emails and stuff while I'm on hold, and then they ask me what I want to rent, and I tell them what, because you can't find a number. I want to talk to someone in the corporate office, and I found an email address, but zero response. We'll keep pushing.
Okay.
If there's well, they did a local law.
They did their own. Yeah. No one that I'm aware. A lot of counties that don't have the local law have contracts with Airbnb. I'm not aware of anyone that has with VRBO. So I don't know if they're just not willing to engage, but we need to at least be able to talk to someone and have that conversation, even if their answer is no. We at least have to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Not to drag this meeting on any longer, but I know when we do budgets, there always is a question that comes up is how many tourism agencies do we really need in this area?
And is there ever going to be any sort of consolidation, or are they all very territorial?
No. Can I give you my read on it?
Sure.
Because I'm in contact with them all the time. I think Hilda might chime in on this one too.
No, I'd be surprised
it was,
at that.
It was. and Scott, I honestly felt the same way 10 years ago. But since that time, we've had more of the networking amongst those agencies, and nobody's duplicating other services. So they're constantly talking. If they're going to a new programming type of situation, that they make sure that other agencies aren't doing the same thing already. There has been, because there was a push by this legislature and the AIP committee a long time ago that said, listen, you guys are going to cooperate. We're not going to create five different kingdoms. You know, we want to be able to expand our tourism efforts, but we want you to do it in cooperation. And I feel as if they have.
It's bad, but Mike was on a call, right, for the executive committee for our,
yeah.
And we have some tasks, we have some action steps to take, because I agree, I've said this every year I've been on the legislature. Why do we have, it's like having two IPAs. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't understand yet why we're having so many tourism agencies. So we're pursuing.
Okay.
We gave Kevin, our president, yes, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better, like Robin said, we're talking to each other. Yeah. But we have some action items, and I think I have several, so I haven't done them yet. So I will work on it.
But we also have to remember that some of those tourism agencies, if you don't look at it as a function, but what geographical area they cover, we have overlaps. And that's just the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really see any of these agencies duplicating each other right down the list for the same geographic area. I think they've...
The idea is that we're trending, everyone's trying to get tourism
right.
Bigger and better.
There's a big enough pie out there for everybody to have a piece. And we're asking them to stay in their lanes and cooperate. So.
More to come. We're not done yet.
All right.
Any other business? Clee? All right. Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.